Good morning and welcome to Being the Change Now. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment for this week. A Zen teacher required larger quarters since those in which he was teaching were overcrowded. A merchant of Edo decided to donate 500 pieces of gold called ryo towards the construction of a more commodious school. This money he brought to the teacher. The teacher said, "All right, I will take it." The merchant handed over the sack of gold, but he was dissatisfied with the attitude of the teacher. One might live a whole year on 3 ryo, and the merchant had not even been thanked for 500. "In that sack are 500 ryo," hinted the merchant. "You told me that before," replied the teacher. "Even if I'm a wealthy merchant, 500 ryo is a lot of money," said the merchant. "Do you want me to thank you for it?" asked the teacher. "You ought to," replied the merchant. "Why should I?" inquired the teacher. "The giver should be thankful." Like all Zen stories, this one is designed to challenge our conditioning. Most of us have been raised to be polite. After all, it's common courtesy to thank someone for a gift. The Zen teacher is not asking us to stop expressing gratitude or encouraging us to be rude. But like every teacher of Zen, he is offering us an opportunity to question what is operating in any moment, conditioned mind or presence. How often do we do what lights us up, what feels good to do, what we love? So much of what we do comes from an unconscious sense of obligation, duty, or responsibility. We do what we ought to do because it is expected of us, and we feel bad when we don't do so gracefully. How much suffering is caused because we don't receive the appreciation or acknowledgement we expect for our efforts to be the good, right person? The apple tree and the rose bush offer flowers and fruits with abandon. It's not that the squirrel and the bee are unappreciative of what they have to offer. It is that the quid pro quo of a transactional orientation is missing. If there's an absence of neediness defined as, "I am doing something in return for something," there is the ability to give with the attitude of gratitude, a thankfulness that recognizes the abundance from which one can offer freely. To be able to act from a sense of wholeness, unattached to the outcome, without expectation of a reward of some kind, is a true nature orientation. Infinite energy, ability, resource fuels the generosity of existence. Life gives endlessly because it can. When we're identified with all that is, abundance, sufficiency, and liberality can be our experience. This week, notice life's lack of neediness, the absence of quid pro quo in its offerings. Notice life's infinite availability and exuberant generosity. Notice how everything in life is freely offered. Notice how life doesn't get upset and withhold its gifts just because it isn't sent a thank you card. Notice how being here, now, for this, allows us to be generous and open and gives us the experience of the giver is thankful. Notice how being here now for this makes us aware and appreciative of all that is given. Notice how expansive presence feels in contrast to the miserliness of ego. Notice how much the orientation of not enough is pure egocentricity. As always, RL. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Hello, Bob. What's going on?
Well, a lot has been going on, and I've just had a great opportunity just to kind of practice with exactly what I think this has been pointing at, which is really kind of lean into just being here and having that be enough, like not trying to do anything. I had a real opportunity to spend a fair amount of time just not, you know, just really practicing with just that's it, like not trying to do anything, not you know, when conditioning would come in and say, well, that's, you know, right, wrong, not enough, too much, whatever all that was, just to just be here and get to see that really is enough. That they were, like the reading was pointing at, just how generous life is, just how there's nothing that needs to be done or is needed by me or by life in any moment.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So in that kind of place, we have a chance to experience both the sufficiency of life for any given moment, and also, I'm projecting, have an ability to see what ego attempts to add to any moment that is unnecessary, irrelevant, and just designed to create suffering.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah, because, a lot of what I saw was that, what I've been seeing, is that two things. One is that just how cruel ego is, like I saw, I think you probably know, I was kind of down for a bit with an illness, and just how it viewed that as an opening just to torture me. But also when I was just really practicing with just allowing just presence just to lead, right? That, mm-hmm. When conditioning would come in, it felt very kind of like just kind of tired and old, like you should do this, this is right, this is wrong. But it wasn't, being here kind of revealed that like it wasn't actually connected to anything other than ego's desire for me to have my attention.
Yeah. Yeah. I love those. When ego is so inappropriate, so out of step, that we can't not see it for what it is. It's just, it's a tremendous gift, isn't it? And we can see, as you point out, why when something happens to us, like, you get sick, and you literally don't have the energy. All your life force is going to toward getting you well. Right, mm-hmm. And so there isn't anything left over to meet ego's, in quotes, needs. And so it's still there trying to get that to happen, right? And we can see why people feel bad and feel guilty and all of those kinds of things when they get sick, right? It's an awful thing. It's not, the Huber cure, of course, and that's never caught on. That whole thing of, I get to go to bed and just practice while the life force heals the body. I get to be here for it. I get to enjoy this retreat, right? Because ego is just there with, you're the wrong person. You should be doing this. You're letting people down. You're not doing your part. What's wrong with you? You could do it. Just get up.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and in both instances, whether it's being so sick that like really, there's really nothing to be done, or intentionally choosing to put myself in a position where it's like I'm just gonna practice just with being here, just really lean into that, right? Not do anything else. But in both instances, when ego comes in, it's like it's just so. Obvious, I guess, and so obviously unhelpful in those moments.
Yes. Oh, well, yeah, because of course so much people suffer so much because, as we always say, they think ego is who they are. They think the voice is on their side, trying to take care of them, trying to make them the right person. And in a situation like that, we really get to see that, no, ego's just out for itself. It really doesn't care if you die. As long as you die with attention, your attention on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the whole game.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. I think we had a saying in practice on a T-shirt somewhere about the sufficiency of the moment. That quote comes to mind, Sherry, that is life. It's completely whole in the moment. There's nothing missing
yes.
because all of it is contained in the now. And that is the experience that we get to have when we're here.
Yes.
Nothing,
yes.
no neediness,
but whatever,
right? Nothing needed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever the moment is,
mm-hmm.
right? Even if you're sick in bed, you have the flu, mm-hmm. you have pneumonia, you have, you have a broken leg, whatever it is, that life, your life is still complete.
Yeah. It's an extraordinarily, thing within quotes to get, because it is so counterintuitive to conditioned
yes.
thinking.
Yes, yes, exactly. And you know, one of my rants over the years, many people know this, is that to watch how, a person has been sick, they say they've had the flu, right? And they get a little life force, right? It turns the corner. And the body has a little bit of life force available to it. And here comes ego. Well, you need to take care of this. You need to take care of that. And medical people will tell you this, right? And so the person gets up, and they deplete all of that life force, and they're sick again. Mm-hmm. And ego will get a person to do that for just as many times as possible. And again, it's hard for people to really take this in. But ego doesn't care if you die. It does not. It won't. The body will. Ego won't.
Yeah. So, what I find that is simply how the orientation is towards the preservation of ego rather than the preservation of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry, I would invite folks who don't normally put themselves in the queue at this point to, and as the week unfolds, to do that.
Uh-huh. Yes, and you because the reason for that, well, there's so many reasons for that. One, that it is the way to participate, and ego doesn't like that because ego wants to hang out in the background and be able to yammer at a person. People are afraid of being beaten up for what they say, beaten up by ego afterwards, so it's just more comfortable to hang out, but then the same people do the heavy lifting all the time, and instead of participating, we can become spectators. And awareness practice is definitely not a spectator sport.
I agree. All right, here we go. Thank you, everybody.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Maggie in Victoria.
Hi, Maggie.
Hey, Maggie.
So I just did what was requested.
Good woman.
So here I am, unprepared.
All right. Good. The best way to be.
And I'm actually quite, how would I say, caught. I'm aware, but I'm in a place, and it's interesting that the practice this week is around abundance and noticing life generosity. And where I am, the content quickly is just some financial stuff that came in that I wasn't aware of that has suddenly put me into oh no place. And I'm watching all of the past conditioning places around scarcity and just there, and the physical sensation of real tightness right now and panicky. And so I went for a walk with my dog this morning and I kept coming back to presence, as that kind of tension would increase, and noticing, just kept shifting my attention.
Maggie, so if I may reflect, right?
Yeah.
Finances, just all of us are conditioned to scarcity around that, right?
Yeah.
Because it is a place of lack. I mean, it's such an ego orientation to be in that realm of value, right? Value, and everything is defined for us. It's just conditioned into there's not enough, and I have to get it, and my well-being is dependent on it. And so that sense of constriction, of insufficiency, of tightness, it's such a manifestation of that world of miserliness, right? Hoarding and greed and grasping and all of the words we might use around that world in which insufficiency is the underlining principle. And it's so there's such a lot of wisdom in just redirecting the attention, because you could not rationalize your way out of that within that world, right? The only thing is to direct your attention to something which is not that, to have a direct experience of presence, of being out in nature and seeing all of the abundance and seeing your dog and feeling well and sufficient and complete. And that allows us to have an experience of abundance where it's possible to do what is necessary in the task level of execution around money or investment or whatever, but not lose the perspective and context from which we can come in that area, right?
Yes. And what I want to say, just the practice has been so helpful here, because I keep, or there's the awareness of, oh, this human is really caught in this. Like I have a little bit of space where I can see, of course, scarcity, and I can watch at the same time. It's like, ego wanting to essentially say kind of all your values are wrong, you know, that you know, it's that place that comes up right now, I'm noticing, around, you know, that your focus should have been all of the should have. It's the same thing. It's just redirecting attention. I keep, like, wanting to kind of ride through this in some different way, and yet it's just. And I was going to say, and the human is doing the necessary. Like there's also this place of is doing the necessary things that need to be done. Like, okay, what are the options here? How can it breathe?
Yes. Well, there's a couple of things that you're talking about, right, Maggie, which is important. So first of all, part of our when conditioning is coming at me, there's somebody caught in that. There's somebody being tortured, right, at some level. Whether the torture is intense or not so intense, there is a place of intense suffering. And so the ability to be with the human being who is being subject to that is what it is the solution within quotes, because that's really where what all of us wanted. When there's something difficult, there's something challenging, it's complex, it's unknowable, it's unpredictable, I don't have any control. What I need is somebody to hold my hand through that process. I mean, why are most of us scared about finances? It's because it's a realm of complexity that I don't understand. It's the same as mathematics, like math class, right? And so if somebody could explain that to me and basically assist me to navigate what is difficult and what is challenging, then I wouldn't be afraid, right? At the root of it is, oh my God, I'm not going to be all right. Not because I can't get money, but because I don't understand anything about it. And so that first level of being able to be with the person who's going through this challenging time, there's a sufficiency that is brought to that love. There's all of that that's truly absent, and that's the generosity of the wisdom, love, and compassion of the mentor in that place. And it is navigating the process in a different way, because I hear the voice, I redirect the attention. I feel that tightness. I do the two-handed recording and bring generosity of love and attention, not money, right? The true generosity to the situation, and therefore I can navigate it differently. And I had to gut it through some other time. I had to write it through. I had to just survive it. And now I can walk that process very differently, because that is my choice, and that is what's happening.
Yeah. The survival conditioning is just so strong. I mean, I know this intellectually, and
Well, you do know it intellectually, and now you're having the experience of bringing love and generosity and sufficiency to a situation. And the expectation from the conditioned perspective is that the conditioning would be less strong, rather than that love would be part of the experience. And over time, as love becomes part of any experience, the survival intensity goes down and love becomes my reality. But if I only survive it, that's always only my experience. If I don't do anything to bring love into the process, love is never going to be my experience through a difficult time. And we have to accept that at some point, as within quotes, the portfolio shifts, right, between love and survival, eventually love becomes the totality. Now survival is the totality. And as we're practicing, the balance shifts. Yeah, it feels weird because there's love and survival. And then there's the yammering of conditioning that says this should be different. Well, it is different.
Yeah. That's really helpful. That's really helpful, because that's what it is. There's also this trying to figure out what is different here. This is really difficult, and it's not.
It's the proverbial glass half full or glass half empty. You can look at the same glass, and based on your perspective, you can see, you can either have sufficiency or insufficiency, right?
Right.
But the balance is shifting as we practice. But if I only if I consult the insufficiency lens for an assessment of my situation, the glass is always going to be half empty. But that's what I'm learning to change.
So that's, you know, just that's there's a continual noticing going on around. Oh, this coffee is really good. Oh, this of how much is here? Yeah, that's how much love. That's what it is. There's a loving presence. There's a, even in this, or as well as, or I don't even know what the word is.
Exactly. That is it. Because we have to train ourselves into looking through the half. Full lens, because until we do, we can't see it.
So it's the now. Of course, it's like, so what do I do? Place, and that of course I'm watching that come up.
But you know what to do. You know.
I do.
You are doing.
I do know what to do.
And bring love and redirect attention. Learn how to see the glass. Or food.
Yeah.
Thanks, Maggie.
Thank you, Ashley.
That's true. We're going for a full glass, aren't we?
Absolutely.
And you know, with the conversation you and Maggie were just having, I've heard a conversation like that in many places in practice, because the principle that you two are talking about applies to everything. You know, I just got a new computer, and I don't really, and the number of people that say, well, you know, I'm not good at technology. Okay. you know, if you don't want to be, that's one thing. But if you're really believing a voice that says you can't be, no. And so you apply the same thing that you two were talking about to that, to anything. You know, I don't. That's ego, right? I don't. That negativity, I don't, I can't, I won't, I whatever it is. But when we turn to love, then, and the mentor's right there saying, well, sure, let's. And will we have to learn, and will we have to find out, and all of that? Yes. And in that relationship, that loving relationship, it's fun. It's interesting. It's exciting.
Well, we have time for one more caller, and I do appreciate everybody who put themselves in the queue, and I hope you will do so tomorrow. But we only have time for one caller, so here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Ken and Morgan Hill.
Hey, Ken. What are you seeing?
Oh, boy. this has been a great day-to-day listening to what's going on. I kind of feel like I guess my intention is to reboot my practice. I feel like I've kind of fallen off. This has been, this year's been a whirlwind of doing, and I recently got back from a trip to Costa Rica, which I've had a whole, I don't know, there's just been so many adventures, and I guess to kind of sum it up, I'm so grateful for the practice I have, because it made me so much more there for the things that came up that I could not have possibly predicted in with any crystal ball, and and how to work with clients and people and things where I had his voice me to do something a certain way and I didn't listen to it, and thank God I didn't.
Yeah. So and then you and now you're back, and
yes,
the voices of ego would like to say, yeah, and you know you haven't been practicing. And, you know, a lesser man would fall for it, and the voice that says, why don't you just quit? I mean, you know, you're so far behind now. You know, you're just out of the loop. You don't know what these people, but that's not true. What is true is that there's been a, pardon me?
You were with me earlier today. That's
yes,
kind of the
course.
Conversation I was having is what I'm saying.
We're always with you, Ken. You cannot escape us.
Yeah. So, my calling was a double down in the other direction.
That's exactly, well, and actually just a confirmation. You know, you were there, you were doing that. You were practicing awareness to the best of your ability where you were with what was happening. And what you got to see was, you actually were practicing, right? You actually were bringing conscious, compassionate awareness to situations that you know in the past ego would have just tripped you up over something fierce. Now you're here. Now you're practicing in this way because now you're here in these circumstances. So not letting ego come in and judge our practice, judge our level of awareness, how we're doing it, but to just simply be where we are, practicing as best we can where we are all the time in that conversation.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, in my family, I'm just truthing you.
Yeah.
Just telling you the truth.
Yeah. I noticed one thing on my last trip. Of course, I kind of have a daughter I adopted about 17 years ago when I had a relationship with a gal who had a five-year-old gal, and so I've become her dad, and right now she's going to the university down there, which I've been helping her with. Anyway, when I go down there, she's my travel agent and travels with me, and we have such a great time, but I'll tell you this time, she had me rent two ATVs for a week over on the coastal areas, and I went places that I never would have went on my own. And it reminds me of the days of skiing when there was somewhere between terror and exhilaration.
Yeah, this is very good, isn't it? Because, again, ego wants us to stay in its comfort zone. People talk about my comfort zone. It's not my comfort zone. It's ego's comfort zone. And so here you are. You're in this situation. It's not like this young woman is something other than life, right? And so
no,
life in that form. presenting you with this situation, and away we go. And you get to be aware of what's happening with you. Yeah, you get to see it. Very good.
And the other thing too, I guess I wish I'd grown up in a culture where, or a family, I mean, wishing on things were different. In a family where, it was multilingual, multicultural, because I get so fascinated by running into people from Europe and South America who speak English so well, and it's not their first language, and they have other languages. And I work so hard at just trying to speak Spanish.
Yes. Well, and Ken, I would like to point out that rather than being in a conversation about lack, you realize you now have a multilingual family and culture, and you're getting to have that experience.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. You are so welcome. Welcome home.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ken. And that's really it, Sherry. That's the movement, right, from focusing on not what I have to what I have. That desire fulfilled is not what we notice.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Not when we're in a conversation with ego. It's going to try to negate the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show, and we'll talk to more callers tomorrow.
Yes, yes, and hopefully, as you indicated, those folks who don't usually put themselves in the queue will just hop right on, jump right in, and we'll get to hear from a lot more folks. It's good.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.